welcome to a very special episode of Rabbit in Red Radio. Special because it is an interview-only episode, where for the next 45 minutes, I will sit down and talk to the great Mike Perez about everything from his involvement in horror documentaries such as Crystal Lake Memories, Never Sleep Again, the story of Pennywise, and many more. We get into his love for the Halloween franchise, and so much more in this very in-depth interview. So do not miss it. I will be right back with the interview after this.
Are you terrified by real life?
Us too!
You like horror movies?
Us too!
Then join Maddie and Andrew, your co-hosts, for a new podcast that explores horror in real life and horror in the movies. And all with a fresh and fabulous gay perspective.
We are a proud member of the Legion Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Facebook, or wherever your favorite podcasts are found. We're
Friday the 13th!
All right, well, welcome back to Rabbit in Red Radio. It's Michael J. here, and it is my distinct pleasure to introduce and be joined by Mike Perez. He is the nicest gentleman probably in the industry that I know of. He has a huge part in the history of this show, and here he is. Mike, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Always good to be back in support of your station. I mean, you guys rock. So I'm all for it.
And I mean, you are like the man of many talents. To me, honestly, you. I mean, obviously, I know a lot of people probably say that you have the coolest job in the world. I mean, I thought that from the moment that I saw that you don't only, you know, manage. But you're involved in all these like great documentaries and stuff. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, some people would, you know, say, you know, I do, you know, I'm the man of many talents, as you said, or I mean, there's different ways of putting it. Mm-hmm. I just look at it as I get bored easily. So if I'm not constantly doing something different, and I mean, it's got to be revamped every time. You know, I just get bored, and I would, you know, hate it and not do it. But, you know, the thing is, you know, documentaries is, you know, by the time we get done with one, like, I'm kind of over it because it's so, I mean, it's draining to, you know, have to watch a movie over and over and over and over again, and then you hear some of the same stories, and, you know, it's, so I'm lucky enough to be able to do another one, which is, it just kind of, it's a refresh. So it's hard to get bored with the documentaries, for sure. You know, conventions, on the other hand, are, you know, booking at Comic-Cons is just, it's a different experience every time. So that doesn't really get boring, you know. So, yeah, I'm lucky. I'm lucky to be able to do what I do.
Well, so what was the driving force that made you kind of, like, want to say you want to get involved with this? Like, with all facets of what you do? Like, what made you kind of take that step?
There wasn't really a driving force. It's that really generic answer of I fell into it by accident, and it's completely true. You know, I grew up in Michigan. I went to college in Phoenix, and then I moved to LA to, you know, pursue singing. I'm a singer. Some know this, some don't. I still do it. I'm still singing, but you know, the thing is like I fell into everything by accident. My good friend Tuesday Knight, who was one of the stars of A Nightmare on Elm Street 4, you know, she was just, we became really, really, really good friends, and I was contacted because someone knew that I knew her and asked me if I had ever done a horror convention, and I had never even heard, I didn't even know what that was. So they kind of talked me through it, what it was, and I'm like, it sounds interesting. And so I booked her and I went with her, and like both of us were just kind of blown away with this whole underground fan base that exists, and it just kind of, it was weird, just the way that it, I mean, it was shocking to see the fans and what they love and how, you know, just how much this, the films, like, changed their lives and everything else. And, you know, and then from Tuesday, like, she recommend, she knew lots of people, and she's like, oh, you should represent this person or this person or this person. And, you know, and then it just kind of, it kind of avalanched into a bigger thing. And now I have about, you know, 65 clients, and, you know, and I'm very lucky with the clients that I have. They're all very wonderful people. I've all become good friends, you know, just it. Yeah. And then, you know, just, I, and again, with the documentaries, like, it just happened. I was repping these people. A lot of them happened to have been in some of the same movies or same franchise. And then I met Tommy Hudson, who was getting ready to start Never Sleep Again, The Elm Street Legacy. He brought me on board, and that was, you know, a bunch of us together as fans who kind of knew what fans wanted, and it just, it really worked. And I'm so happy to have been a part of that, and that just parlayed into doing more, and now I've done I don't know how many.
Yeah, and that was with me too, I have to say, with, you know, you guys knowing what fans wanted. I mean, Never Sleep Again was the first doc that I think I ever watched, and before that came along, I was like, documentaries, I don't know, what's this? And then I heard about that, and I'm like, I'll give it a shot. And you guys, like,
yeah,
nailed it.
I mean, it was just because we are fans. I mean, Elm Street is such a huge franchise, and all of us have been watching those films forever, and there was so much. I mean, Tommy Hudson was friends with Heather Langenkamp and Lisa Wilcox. I knew, I was good friends with Tuesday Night, Kelly Jo Minter, and a bunch of others, and we just brought them all together, and it kind of blew up, and we found so many people who, you know, have just had moved on in life, and it took a lot of searching. We brought them all back together, and it just, we knew what we wanted to hear. So if we wanted to hear it, we knew the fans did, because again, we were fans. So it was really, you know, we were doing this, one, because it was fun, and two, because there was so much we wanted to know. And that's it. Yeah. I mean, it was one of the, it's probably one of the best in-depth making of featurettes that you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah, I mean, it's 4 hours, and that's amazing. And then, you know, you get into Crystal Lake Memories, and that in and of itself is,
oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I read the book, and then it's like the documentary is like a video version of the book, but so much more.
Yeah, and, yeah, I mean, it was, Peter did such a great job writing that book, and he is like, he is a Friday the 13th aficionado, connoisseur, like, that's his thing, and he did such a beautiful book. And when Daniel Farrens and wanted to do, and Tommy Hudson wanted to do the documentary, I mean, there was, his name was Jason first, but we were like, we loved what Peter did with the book, and it was like, how can we make it as good as the book? And it just, it, there were so many more avenues. We found more people. You know, I still feel like finding Jennifer Cook was my biggest success in the documentary. 'Cause, you know, it's, she's a wonderful person, and she's just one of those people that the fans have wanted to know, where is she? What is she doing? Has she even talked about this? So I felt really good the minute she called me and said, I'll do it. Like, the minute I hung up, like, I was screaming on the inside like a teenage girl. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just freaking out. Like, it was, I knew that that was going to be a big moment in the documentary.
Oh, it definitely was, because, you know, it's like she disappeared, and, you know, you didn't know what was going on with her, but it was just amazing.
Well, yeah,
brought,
I
brought,
like,
them all together.
I found, yeah, I mean, I found so much about her. Like, I found her through her husband. Mm-hmm. And then I found out her and her husband, like, created Celestial Teas, which is, like, one of the biggest beverage phenomenons out there in any grocery store. Like, she's built this huge empire. So, you know, the fact that she hadn't acted or talked about it, like, it's completely understandable because she has this huge venture. So, you know, it's just, and that's part of the fun of all this is finding these people and what are they doing? What have they been up to? And then, you know, getting them to tell their stories again. Like, it's so fascinating.
And then, well, More Brains, I think, was before, that was before Crystal Lake Memories, right?
More Brains was before Crystal Lake Memories. Absolutely. Right.
Yeah, that was another one. And I'm so glad that Scream Factory was able to include that on the, you know, the recent release of Return of the Living Dead that they did.
I know. Isn't that great? That, I mean, I was completely honored. Like, that, I mean, that was fantastic. Shout Factory does so many great releases, especially when it comes to releasing these gem of a horror films. You know what I mean? It's, you've got these films that we all watched on VHS, and then they never got a DVD release. And then suddenly, like, here comes Shout Factory, and they release these fantastic nostalgic horror films that are so campy and classic. It's wonderful. I love that company. I love them.
Exactly. There, I mean, and I mean, they must be wonderful to deal with, I would hope, on the you know, with all that. But
absolutely.
Yeah. But what else do you have coming up in that area? I mean, I know that there's the Pennywise documentary that's coming out.
A year ago, about 2 years ago, we did RoboCop.
Right.
And that was an experience. We all got together and we were like, okay, well, you know, we're going to do maybe a 2-hour feature on this franchise. And after every person we got a confirmation from or interviewed, like, we'd get 4 more off of them. Like, they would call someone and be like, you have to do this. So that just, I mean, it blew up into, it's going to be another, like, 4-hour documentary. It's insane of how big it blew up. And then, so that is going to be coming out, I believe November is an approximate date. We're really trying to get it out quick because it has been a while, but like I said, it keeps growing. Like, it's growing before our very eyes. Even now, there's so much to tell, and we don't want to leave anything out. So it's been a process. And then last year we started Pennywise, the story of it. Mm-hmm. And that's been a super fun experience. I mean, we did a lot of interviews here in LA. We went up to Vancouver for a week because, you know, that was shot in Vancouver. So we did a location shoot. You know, we interviewed a lot of people who were still living up there. We went to New York. Like, I mean, it's in depth, and it's just going to be another one of those docs that the fans are going to love because it's everything that they've been wanting to know. You know, I'm super excited, and Pennywise should be released in October.
And were you able to get Tim Curry for that one?
We did, yes. We interviewed Tim. Tim was our very first interview.
Okay, great. Because I know that, you know, with his health lately, I was curious as to if he was able to, like, participate. But
yeah, you know, he's a, you know, Tim is a very strong individual. You know, he pushes through. Like, he does not let his health stand in the way of what he loves. He's definitely a fighter.
And that's great. I'm so glad. I cannot wait for that one. And the RoboCop one, you know, that one too. It's just, it's amazing what you guys do. I mean, do you have anything else, like, aside from that you can tell us about that's in the pipeline, anything like that?
Well, we're starting now. We are officially in pre-production on Police Academy. And it's something that's different. It's most of the, you know, all the documentaries that I've done have been on horror, and the reason is because horror has that cult following. Like, it's, you know, unless you're doing like a making of feature for something that's a movie that's getting a special edition release, or you're doing something for television, it's hard to do a making of, because we could do one of, I'm going to do a random movie here and say, name a movie that everyone loves that's not horror?
Oh, geez. The Godfather.
Okay. Yeah, we could do one on The Godfather. But though people love it, it's not really cult. Like, there, it just doesn't have that extreme, huge fan base following where, you know, these people want to collect things. Like, it's something new. Like, they, it just doesn't have it. Like, we could do it, and then people would forget about it in months.
Right.
But when it comes to horror, that's forever. It's forever. And these fans are, you know, they just want it. It's like, oh my God, you're releasing something new, and then it's something new that they can take to conventions and meet the stars of the movies and have them sign it, and it's just something more. So we kind of stepped out with Police Academy because there isn't a horror fan that I don't know that doesn't love these movies. And so we just thought, let's do it. Let's try something different. So here we go, and we're officially in pre-production. We have so many of the cast and crew on board, and we still have so much more to announce. I mean, we've already announced tons of people who are doing it, but there's so many more that we haven't yet. So, you know, thanks to everyone who pledged and made it happen, because, you know, for us, it's a dream to get to do this, and it's, you know, it's definitely, I'm super grateful that I get to do this for a living. I couldn't be more thankful.
That's, I mean, really, I can't wait for any time that you guys are, you know, you come out with something. It's just, it's amazing to me, because I know that it's going to be a quality product. Really.
Oh, well, I mean, thank you.
And I mean, I know that people are going to say, you know, Halloween had 25 years of terror and this and that, but, you know, you guys really need to get your hands on that. I mean, I know the first one has been covered to death, but I want something on the sixth one.
Yeah, you know, Halloween is something that has constantly been brought up, but there are, it's a very protected franchise.
Right.
And sometimes the powers that be won't allow us to do certain things. So Halloween's come up a few times, but it's nothing. It just hasn't been able to take off. Ugh. It just hasn't. Which I agree. Halloween is probably my favorite horror franchise. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again, and most people are shocked when I say it, that I'm not really a horror fan. I do love cheesy 80s horror films, and I do love the big franchises that, you know, started late 70s, early and through the 80s.
Right.
But, I mean, that's about my love of horror. Like, I mean, I'm a Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Halloween fan, Child's Play. I will occasionally jump off into, like, The Fright Nights and Sleepaway Camps. But, I mean, I'm very limited when it comes to horror, because I can't, like, gore really bothers me. Like, it's very hard for me to watch. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, Halloween is definitely one of my favorites, and I would love to cover it. So, I mean, if the powers of B are going to listen to this, I would love to cover it. You know, come, you know, call me. You know, I would love to do it. I mean, it would be a huge honor to be able to cover Halloween in depth the way that we've covered these other franchises.
I mean, we've had Malik on the show before, so I would love to be able to, you know, if I could maybe reach out to him again. And
Malik is such an amazing guy. I love that dude so much. I mean, there are really no words. I mean, he has done such an incredible job at keeping his father's legacy alive. And, I mean, and he's been around, you know, and he's been involved, I think, since, what, the fourth or the fifth one?
I think the fourth or the fifth is when maybe he started as, like, an assistant or something.
Something like that. And so he's done such an amazing job at keeping this franchise going, and with look at what's happening right now with the new Halloween getting ready to come out, and I mean, people are just clamoring for it. Like, I mean, for 2-3 days straight, mm-hmm. everything that was on my timeline on any of my social medias was nothing but Halloween.
Oh,
it was
exactly.
all Halloween. That's all. I mean, I still can't go through my Facebook timeline, like, and look at my feeds without seeing half of it being Halloween.
Right. Exactly. And that's another thing that I got into a debate with a lot of people over, because they're not happy that, well, some of them aren't happy that they're ignoring all the other ones.
Okay, I have to like, there's a part of me that's there with that.
Right.
That I am going to group myself into that people, because like you, I'm a fan. Mm. And they're so, and I am a little annoyed that here's the thing. I saw the trailer. Mm. And it looks scary. I'm going to give them that. It looks scary, and it looks like it's going to scare the pants off of me. But I feel like it's like H2O again.
Right. I can see that. I can.
You know, I just feel like it's H2O remake, and I'm kind of like, why? You know, I know Blumhouse, like, they're fans. They love this franchise. And in my head, like, if I were in charge, this is what I would have done.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, bringing back Jamie Lee Curtis is obviously something that the fans are going to love, because who doesn't love Laurie Strode? But I feel like the Laurie Strode character is done, in my opinion. Like, I'm kind of done with it. Like, I've seen it in four movies, and it's like, let's carry it on. Like, I just feel like there's so many more holes and things from the previous films.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jamie Lloyd had a baby. Why don't we continue there? You know, what happened to Paul Rudd and Marion Hagen's mm-hmm. characters? What
exactly?
You know, what happened to Laurie Strode's son? You know, it's like, let's fill in the holes, and let's do something more original on an idealistic that's already standing franchise, but let's keep going, and let's keep the legacy and the curse of Michael Myers going. You know, I just, you know, I'm nervous. I have so many conflicting feelings and thoughts about it that it makes me want to see the new one even more, because they may not even be showing us a pinch of what's going to be happening
right.
in that film. Like, they could completely touch base on all these things without being part of those sequels. I mean, I guess we'll see, right?
Right. I mean, but I'm with you, like I said, because 6 is my favorite one, so I would love to see what happened with those characters, because they kind of, you know, left them out in the cold. And I know that that Daniel Ferrance had great ideas to continue, but they just didn't want to do it. And that was one of the things that kind of irked me about H2O, was that they ignored
right.
all of that.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And but see, even when H2O happened,
mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed H2O. I really did. And I kind of got why, like, as a fan and a fan of the storyline, I understood, and it was forgiving. Like, I was able to forgive the fact that they didn't bring up any of that other stuff. Like,
right.
because it's all these years later, like, it would have been so many years since, you know, for the fact is, whatever, I guess in the story that she faked her death. And so I understand, like, when you go into, like, hiding and protection, you have to wipe out everything in your past. And maybe she felt like leaving her daughter with a different family, like, that was the right thing to do, and maybe for her safety. And, you know, I, like, in my head, I tried to connect the dots myself, so it was a little more forgiving. And but you're right, 6 is my favorite too. That is absolutely my favorite one. Now let me ask you,
mm-hmm.
do you like the theatrical or the producer's cut better?
Well, see, here's the thing. I mean, the first, I was obviously exposed to the theatrical first, because I saw that in the theater opening weekend. That was like you know, that was my thing, and I fell in love with it instantly. But, you know, then the producer's cut came along, and I was like, you know, I like the way that they explore this a little more. Granted, it changes the story a little bit, but I still kind of dug it. So I guess, you know, I like both of them. But I guess because the theatrical was the first one that I saw, I kind of have a softer spot for that one. I don't know. But I like them, you know, well, I like them both.
Yeah, see, I do too. But to me, mm-hmm. I feel like it's almost two different movies.
Right, no, it totally is. I agree with you
100%. Like, literally, the first time I saw the producer's cut, I mean, I immediately called Dan and I told them, I said, this is fantastic. I'm like, I feel like I got, like, double the pleasure because I felt like I was getting to watch two different movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I do love the theatrical, don't get me wrong. I love the theatrical version. But I also really like the producer's cut. And they both have, it's almost like it's two different movies.
Right. And it kind of gives more background to the whole Thorne thing and that, you know. Because I don't mind that
whole
Thorne storyline.
That's important.
I love the
Thorne
storyline.
It's very important because a lot of people, they dog on Halloween 6 because of the Thorne storyline. They're like, what is that about? It doesn't make any sense. But see, you need, because with the theatrical, it's there, but they never take it anywhere. Like,
right.
It only tells you so much. If you watch the producer cuts, it makes a little more sense, you know, and then people would understand it. But a lot of people just, they felt like Halloween 6 just went on its own little way. But, you know, if you saw the appropriate, like if Dan's version had been made,
right.
I think people would have forgave it a bit more.
Oh, there was, what, like 11 drafts, I think, of that script?
I think so, something like that, yeah.
And, I mean, it just seems like there was so much more there that they didn't even shoot, so.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, Halloween 6 is always going to have a very special place in my heart, especially since I'm lucky enough to represent the cast of Halloween 6.
Oh.
I mean, I just went out there, like, you know, the promoter of Monster Mania, a really big horror convention on the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
he told me, he came up to me after we were doing the show, and he said, I was there doing a Return of the Living Dead reunion, and he came up to me and he said, no, this is awesome. We love Return of the Living Dead. It was a huge turnout. He goes, I would really kind of like to do a Halloween 6 reunion. And I said, oh, that's interesting. But I couldn't really guarantee anything because for some reason, the cast had been labeled as like the ungettables. Like they didn't want to talk about the movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they all jumped on board within minutes. Like I got their emails, emailed all of them, and they were all on board within a day of me doing it. And it took off, and they are the nicest, sweetest, laid back, down to earth people that I've had run into in a while in Hollywood. I mean, granted, all of my clients are easy. I don't work with difficult people. I can't do it.
Right.
But these guys, I have so much fun with. I love going to conventions with them. I mean, it is such a good time.
But obviously, like, Paul is he doesn't fall under that, or you don't.
Well, here's the thing. I, you know, and it was like a big convention scandal, and it really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I had booked two Halloween 6 reunions. One was at Monster Mania,
mm-hmm.
in New Jersey, and the other one was at Horror Hound in Indianapolis.
Right.
And they were literally within a month apart. Well, I never stopped trying to get Paul to do one. And because, you know, I had talked to Dan, and Dan Ferens told me that he had run into Paul. And Paul was like, why don't I ever get invited to any Halloween stuff? So I was like, you know what, I'm going to try. Well, I got a hold of him. I got a hold of his agent, and his agent we got on a three-way call, and Paul said, I will do this if the other cast members are on board. And I said, they are. They're already booked. And he said, okay, well, then I'll do it. And he was going to donate money to charity and everything else. But what happened was, and we did not know this, and he didn't know this, in his contract with Disney because of Ant-Man, he is a Wizard World exclusive.
Oh.
Like, he cannot do any other form of public appearance that is not Wizard World or that is not of what Disney sets up. And he couldn't do it because it would have turned into legal actions, and we tried everything. He was like, can I just... He's like, I'm donating the money to charity. They said no. He said, what if I just go and sign only Halloween stuff? Only, he goes, not Clueless, not anything else, just Halloween. Mm-hmm. They said no.
Wow.
So we tried. We really did. We tried everything we possibly could to try to get around it, but it deemed too difficult, and it went against the contract. And at the end of the day, you don't want to piss off the mouse.
That is such a shame, because aside from, I mean, Donald Pleasance is my favorite actor of all time, and after seeing Halloween 6, Paul stepped into the second spot, and I was really, really looking forward to meeting him. Like,
yeah, a lot of people were, and I got the crap kicked out of me for a little while for that, but it's out of my control.
Yeah.
You know, it was out of his control. It was out of his agent's control or his lawyer's controls. We couldn't do anything about it. So it was what it was. He was excited about it. It didn't happen. All we can do is wait until his contracts are up with Disney, and then we'll see what we can do.
Oh, well, hopefully. I mean, you know, how many more Ant-Mans can they make? I mean, no, I know.
I'm
Marvel's.
Assuming there's probably going to be four.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know too much about Marvel. We're not covering that here until, November and December. Then I'll have to sit down and watch all of them, so I'll get up to date with how all that is. So,
yeah, I'm a Marvel fanatic, so I'm all about Marvel. X-Men is my life, mm-hmm. but Marvel is me as a whole, and I'm all about any Marvel anything.
Right, so you're all... So then you know all with the Avengers and all that. Well, that's my co-host, John. He knows all that stuff. I have no idea.
Oh, absolutely. I can geek out about Marvel for days straight.
Well, it's a shame John couldn't be here because he would love you. Because he hates
me.
I have
no idea. Definitely, yeah, this whole interview would have been sidetracked into Marvel.
Exactly.
You get me going and I can't stop.
Oh,
so.
I'm sure. Well, maybe after December when we're all done with, you know, when I have, you know, I've seen them all by that point. You know, then I'll have a different spin on everything. But for now, I have no idea what the hell it is. But you brought up conventions. So
yeah.
Any weird convention stories that you have, any, like, weird happenings where you know, just out of control people that you've dealt with, fans, celebrities, anything like that?
You know... It's hard to say. When I put out a new documentary, I do attend conventions as a guest in signing, but then the other 50% is me just booking clients and other celebrities at shows. So, you know, and even when I do that, like occasionally people bring up their Crystal Link Memories poster or Never Sleep Again poster and have me sign those, and which is really cool and awesome. But you know, I don't know. I don't feel like. I don't really have any weird fan stories because here's the thing. Like, we all know that there's fans out there that take things too far, right. Who might be strange or weird or crazy, but those people don't usually leave their house.
Right.
Any people that we've ever met at shows that I've ever met have always been I mean, I've met so many people that I continuously stay in touch with. I mean, that some of them have become really close friends of mine. And, you know, so they're just the greatest people. Like, it's so weird. I dread going to family reunions because what happens at family reunions? Somebody's always fighting with someone. Like, it's the typical family reunion. I don't know of anyone who's had a perfect one. Maybe you have.
No,
I haven't.
Never.
But, exactly. But when you go to a horror convention, it's like a family reunion, but everyone's happy and getting along. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone has that same story of whatever film they've related to, and it brought them through either a dark time or a hard time or, you know, whatever was going on in their life. Like, they were able to escape and relate and, you know, like, it's just a happy time. Like, it's a time when all these people come together and they celebrate these movies. And the funny thing is, it's like, people always say, oh, these are B films, they're low budget films, but you know what? More people celebrate these films than they do Titanic.
Oh, exactly, yeah.
You know, it's like these films, like they have this life and these legs and a way to just bring people together, and those and huge motion pictures don't do that. You know, it's just a special, special time. I mean, convention people are so great. And I don't have any weird stories, honestly. I mean, unless you see Gary Busey, you know, in his underwear, in a robe, going down to get ice cream, and he fills up a giant bowl of it. You know, but that's Gary. You know, that's Gary. So it's like, I don't think anyone was shocked.
Right. No, he's just crazy.
You know, so yeah, I mean, no, I don't, I mean, there aren't really any bad stories, you know, I mean, it's just a fun, super time.
Well, yeah, I know the few Monster Manias that I've been to, they've all been, you know, classic. It's just a shame that, you know, I haven't really been to any that you've been involved with, you know, that's just a shame, because I'd like to, you know, be able to meet
other than Monster Mania?
No, Monster Mania is the one that's, like, closest to me, because I guess it's in Cherry Hill, New Jersey, so that's, like, maybe 20, 25 minutes from me. I think that's the closest.
Well, I've done, like, 7 or 8 Monster Manias.
Wow. You know, it's been a while since I've been there, so I think the last one I went to was that where... Wait. Yeah, I think the last one I went to, I know Tom Matthews was there.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't. Maybe if you were there, that was before I knew of you. So that, you know.
Yeah. Anytime Tom's been there, I've been there with him.
Oh, okay. Then yeah, you probably were there.
But you know, most of the time I'm running around like a maniac. Like as much fun as they are, like I still have business to do. Like it is work.
Right.
So you know, I am running around like crazy, and I always feel terrible because I don't get to like you know hang out and just. Chill with people like I would love to, but you know, unfortunately, it is work for me. So,
yeah, this being Pride Month, I know Legion, our network, is like very much trying to acknowledge it and bring it to the forefront.
Yes.
Have you noticed anything positive or negative that would have affected your career in either way?
You know, honestly. If anything, it's had a positive effect. Being a homosexual myself, it's, you know, when you're a kid, like, obviously I knew something was different about me. Like, you know, I would see, you know, my mom and my stepfather kiss, or I would see people, you know, in public do that or holding hands. And I would, you know, and I'd see that and I knew I was different because that didn't seem like the norm to me. I mean, it was fine. I saw people do it, but I just knew that that wasn't me. And, you know, so you obviously as a young kid, you don't speak your mind about it, you know, or, you know, you don't know. It's a growing experience, just like a heterosexual. It's just, we all have kid phases and we don't even get into that until older. Mm-hmm. But because, you know, obviously, being a homosexual, you don't come out and say, I'm a homosexual, because obviously there's bad reactions to that for a lot of people. And so we kind of grow these darker demons inside of us, holding in a secret until we're comfortable with saying it. And these horror films help you cope. Like, because most of the time, I'm trying to find a good... okay, look at Return of the Living Dead. It's one of the first horror films I ever saw, and which is my life doing a complete full circle, because now I'm really close friends with all of them, and I rep them. You know, I did the documentary. It's just strange. But watching that, you see these characters in these films... And they're not all popular. They're not, you know, there's, especially this one, there was like a character for everyone in there. Everyone could relate to at least one character in that group of people. And I saw that they were different, and, you know, and I knew I was different. So you just kind of relate, and you see them go through hell. And my personal hell is not being able to tell this secret, that because I'm not sure if it's okay and I'm not sure if it's right and everything else. So if anything, being a homosexual, I've related to these films, these horror films who have strong leading women, and it, you know, a lot of gay men can relate to women better than they can to guys. And it helps. It was like private therapy, almost, like knowing you can overcome something that's so taboo to the general public. You know, I grew up in Michigan, hello middle America. It helped me cope with things and handle things, and I basically just kind of slid on into who I am. And when I came out, it was okay. Like, I'm one of the lucky ones. I had no repercussions. So, and then as I got older, like, I noticed it's like gay men love their horror. It's strange. Every Friday night, I go to West Hollywood and I have movie nights with my favorite gays in the world. And we all relate. Like, we all go to these, we love horror. We all watch these horror films that we can relate to. And we've always watched, it's gay, the gay community has such a love for horror. And as the years come by, like, I used to think it was just me, because I don't ever remember in school anyone watching these movies. Like, I used to just watch them by myself. But there's such a huge following. Like, we have special screenings. What is the last one I go to? I just went to a big screening of Elm Street 4 in Hollywood. And obviously I know the cast, so that was great seeing everyone. But the audience, probably more than half, were gay. It's like there's just this crazy connection between the gay community and horror. It's wild. So I definitely feel that because I am gay, that it's had such a positive impact on what I do in this business, in this particular genre of business. So yeah, it's definitely been positive, never negative. I couldn't even imagine there being a negative aspect to it.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely wouldn't think so, but I, you know, because it's just, because it seems to me, like I said, you just seem like somebody who, just your regular average guy, and you just...
I am, yeah.
You've done something incredible with your life that I think, you know, anybody would be just, I mean, I'm envious just because you've done, it seems like, everything you've wanted to do. That's just, it's great.
Well, I wouldn't say I've done everything I wanted to do.
Well,
but you know, it's a work in progress. You know, I'm still young. I still have time. It's all development. I've been very fortunate to know when I was young, I knew I was going to do something in the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. I knew it. I told everyone I was going to do it. I didn't know what form it would take, though. And I'm very lucky to be able to do many different things in the entertainment. And it's just taking what you love and turning it into a job. And everyone can do it. It just takes time. And I know people, like, they work their 9-to-5 jobs and they get defeated because it just takes time. You just have to work until something pays off. And a lot of people get lost in the 9-to-5 job and they forget about what they love and what they want to do. But everyone can turn what they love into a career. 100%. It's possible. It's very possible.
Is there anything else that you, you know, want to say to anybody who's listening that might maybe want to, you know, get into this?
Yeah, just, you know, just work hard. You know, honesty is the best policy. You know, this business is full of snakes. And there's a lot of bad people in this business, but don't fall into that. Just keep being, do it the honest way, do it the nice way. There's no need for hostility and backstabbing and lying and drama. There's just no need for it. And you just got to work hard and it'll happen. And, you know, just you know, you just have to stay true to yourself, and you have to all, even though it's something you love, you still have to treat it as a business, because the minute you don't, you're done. Like, it'll be done, because it'll get the best of you. So I just, you know, I'm always up to talk to people about it. You know, everyone can write me on Facebook or Twitter. On Twitter, I think my handle's at Mikey's Dreamin'. Facebook is just under Mike Perez. My website is michaelperezentertainment.com. You know, you can email me there. You know, and I'm always willing to help and talk to people, because you know what? It's, people are going to tell you no on your journey. Doors are going to shut. People are going to tell you no. But you can't take no for an answer. You just have to keep going, and someone's going to say yes. And depending on what you do, you may be your own boss, but even then, you still answer to other people, and people are going to say no. You just have to stay positive and just keep going. Like, there's always going to be walls that you just have to climb over.
And that, Mike, I just have to say thank you so much for joining us. And
oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Hope to have you back again.
Definitely.
You are an amazing guest, an amazing person, and it was such a pleasure to be able to talk to you today.
Oh, pleasure's all mine.
Light out there, and the light I stare. And who's inside? That was horrible.